Welcome to this episode of the Left Behind Game Club. This week, we fly all the way over to Hokkaido as we play Episode 6 in our final episode of our Hitman series. Now, if you haven't done so already, jump on over to iTunes and subscribe to us. That way you can get access to our episodes as soon as they drop. Now, in this week's episode, we got Mike a little mad.
Yeah, because I know for sure also when I replayed Colorado to get my 5 stars for that one, when you get the accident kill on the two targets, the CEO executive and the lady missing the arm.
Let me just make it clear. Sean Price or Power or whatever his name is.
Yeah, okay. Sean Rose.
Sean Rose.
Sean
sure.
Rose, you mean Silicon Valley
extraordinaire.
Extraordinaire khaki
look,
boy.
I know you guys don't read in these games, but I read all of the profiles on them. He grew up in a Marxist camp.
Great.
In New Zealand, mm-hmm. And then he followed a girl, Canadian girl, to Canada, and then he
was a CEO.
He was never a CEO of anything.
He was radicalized.
Let me be clear. He was never, ever a CEO. He didn't wear khakis and a polo. I don't know where you guys are coming up with this. Look, I'm triggered.
You're listening to the Left Behind Game Club.
Welcome to the Left Behind Game Club, our never-ending attempt to make sure that no game is left behind. I'm your host, Jacob McCourt, and today I have three friends with me. The first friend, you know him, you love him, he's joining us through the power of the interwebs, it's Momotati.
Behold the king of kings, Momotati. What's up, guys?
Our second friend joining me in the room, you know him, you also might love him, Michael Ruffalo.
The crown prince of Hitman, I'm here to talk about a really great episode of
the
game.
So wait, if you're the prince and he's the king, what does that make
me? You're the court jester.
And the jester, exactly.
And our special guest joining us for the second time in this Hitman series and for the fifth or sixth time on the show, Kevin Rayburn.
Thank you for having me.
A resident hunchback.
What?
You heard me.
The hunchback? I would say
look,
assistant
if everyone's
to the
part
jester.
Of the court, I mean, actually, you're above the court jester this week.
Oh,
am I in last again?
Actually, no, you're right. You are above. You are above the hunchback. Oh. The court jester is above the hunchback.
I did well. Anyway, today is the episode.
Non-zero scores for everyone.
It is our final episode of our Hitman series. We are traveling to Hokkaido, Japan. If you have not listened to the 6 episodes before this, please do me a favor. Listen to those first. They're pretty good. And then come back.
They're all good on their own.
They're all good on their own. Come back to this, and then you can join us on our trip to Hokkaido. Who's ready for a briefing?
Good morning, 47. The board has sanctioned Eric Soder's for termination. After Colorado, we did some digging into Soder's private affairs and discovered that he has been fast-tracked for critical heart surgery at the hyper-exclusive Gama Private Hospital in Hokkaido, Japan. Such a display of power has Providence written all over it. Soder's, who suffers from a rare condition known as situs inversus, where his internal organs are reversed, desperately needs a right-sided heart transplant and has clearly betrayed the ICA to get it. He was admitted last night and is currently being prepped for a 3-day surgery. We have booked you into Gama under the usual guise of Tobias Reaper, corporate shark, here for a standard medical checkup. As such, you will need to play it by ear and procure whatever tools you need to complete the mission. You also need to eliminate Yuki Yamazaki, a Tokyo lawyer who works for Providence. Sodas has already given Yamazaki access to our client records and has agreed to provide a full list of active ICA operatives post-operation. This transaction cannot be allowed to happen. Sodas must pay for his treachery, and his insidious employers must be taught a lesson. ICA's sovereignty is at stake. Powerful as Providence may be, we need to draw a line in the sand. I will leave you to prepare.
Taking down Eric Soder's and the Japanese lawyer that accompanies him is the number one thing to do in Hokkaido. Besides, you know, getting a nice treatment at this hospital facility. Gentlemen, what did we think of this last episode?
I loved it.
I also loved it.
I also loved it, Mo.
It was probably my favorite aesthetic map in the entire Hitman game that we just played.
Yes, the hospital was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love so the cool. idea of not being able to pick any physical locks because everything is based on the RFID tag in the uniform that you're wearing.
Which presents its own set of challenges related to this level, correct?
Some fantastically interesting challenges.
So, Michael, we've been going mostly by score. So would it be a good time to kind of go through everyone's scores and share the scoreboard of Hitman?
Oh, no.
So does anyone happen to remember their scores?
No.
I do.
No.
I know you do, Mo. I know you do for good reason. And I'll call upon you when that time comes. So leading up the rear, but doing fantastically better than anyone could have ever hoped and thought was possible. The man, the myth, the Jacob McCourt.
I still got last?
No, it was actually Kev. Sorry, I was doing a little bait and switch.
I didn't get last.
For those who are not enjoying the pleasure of seeing that live, Jacob flailed wildly and cackled. And I think he saved your ears by holding the mic away, but it was a sight to see. And I'm very proud of you, Jacob.
Thank you.
So, Kevin, you came in last place. A Tribe Called Kev. It doesn't matter if you have a great taste in music. You got 2 stars for a total score of 75,559 points.
That's good, right?
You know what? Considering it's the second mission you've ever played, I'm giving you a pat on the back.
That's a great score.
Bravo.
Thank you.
Pet my ego.
Jacob?
Pet my ego.
Jacob?
Pet my ego.
You got a non-zero score for the third week in a row?
Oh, yes.
You're just on this escalator into greatness.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too bad that the escalator ended before we had more opportunities to have a new crowned king.
Keep petting my ego.
Jacob, you, as far as I saw, only killed one non-target this time.
I know exactly what I did.
It was amazing. When I was looking at the leaderboards, I didn't think it was a thing. Kevin, you killed 2 non-targets.
I did?
Yeah, and that's why Jacob's ahead of you. Jacob had a score of 85,419 points.
Wow.
Also with 2 stars.
Wow, 80,000?
Round of applause, everyone, please.
Round of applause. Thank you.
Killed 2 non-targets.
First loser, second place, myself.
The new crown prince.
The new crown prince. I am no longer the handcrafted killer. There's a new king on the block, and his name is Mo. I got 3 stars for a total score of 92,105 points.
I almost beat you.
I mean, not really, but
7,000 points. I almost beat you.
But if you're going by that, I mean, you're only 5,000 points over me, so I almost beat you.
Right,
who
but
almost
if,
beat
listen,
Roof.
If I would have got killed, if I wouldn't have accidentally thrown a man in a furnace and would have shuffled my feet a little bit faster, I would have won. I would have beaten
you. You're right.
I would have been the new crown prince of Hitman.
But I think we'll get into the stories of how this.
No. You've forgotten the king of Hitman.
I know.
Mo's ego.
And Mo, I know last week I handed you a crown, and I was expecting to get it back this week. But can you let everyone in on what score you got and, the special accolades?
Yes, for sure. So just to kind of give the slight little backstory, in the last episode, I landed a 4-star. And just slightly beat out everyone, but it wasn't like we realized that the only reason why I didn't get a perfect score or like one of the highest scores is because I accidentally punched a guy in the face and he spotted me. Whereas if I took him out, I would have gotten maybe a good score. So what I did is I replayed that mission. I took him out without him seeing me and I eventually got my 5-star. So in this Hokkaido level, I scored another perfect score, 5-star.
Silent Assassin.
I got awarded the Silent Assassin and I scored 157,719 points.
Mo, you are the real king of Hitman.
Michael, that's a lot more points than you.
That's a lot more points.
That's like almost double you.
I'm getting
really close to your face saying this.
You're right, and we got to work on your math skills. But Mo, you are the real crown prince of Hitman. And Jacob, I am so proud of you that you you get the most improved trophy at the end of the year.
I'd like to thank my mom and my dad for making me. I'd like to thank IO Interactive for making a great game, for birthing a great game, much like I have been birthed into a great Agent 47. And I'd like to thank you guys for being here on this journey with me.
I can't wait to see where you end up at the end of Season 2.
Oh.
Ooh.
But before we get there, we need to talk about the last episode in the Hitman season one, Hokkaido. Boys, how did you start your mission? How'd you do your playthrough?
So,
I think Kev is first on the block.
I'll go first because I'm the worst. The mission opens up and you're in like your own room, and the Agent 47 is in like a pure serial killer position above the sheets, laying down, just staring at the roof
with his eyes open.
I thought that was pretty creepy. But then you like walk around, you open doors with your robes, or other people's robes. As I went into the bathroom, I realized that somebody wanted to look like Helmut Kruger. And it just so happened.
Yes.
That I looked like Helmut Kruger. So I took him out and I wore his bandages.
Wait, how'd you take him out?
Hold on, what?
What are you talking about?
Hold the phone.
That was the most easy, obvious thing.
I didn't go into the bathroom.
But not the bathroom in your room, but like just a random bathroom. There was a guy there.
Yes, so there's this one guy who's just walking around wearing full body bandages all across his face. And you hear him talking about, hey, I'm getting this procedure to look at like Helmut Kruger, blah, 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 and everything like that. So he's kind of patrolling, talking to a bunch of people. He's very flamboyant, excited. He's going to look so great. And yeah, this is where I'm assuming you walked into the bathroom with him, because I did something similar to start my journey in this level. And one of the funny things with it too is if he spots you and eyeballs you, he actually comes up to you and goes, what? Are you Helmut Kruger? Oh my god. and then you're like, oh my god. He's like, oh no, you're not Helmut Kruger. You're just trying to do the same thing I'm doing. You copier, like, get out of here, you imposter, and kind of continues on.
Yeah, he gets angry at you for doing the same thing.
So that's what I did. I walked by him. He started following me into like another part of the bathroom. And I'm like, well, you're around nobody now. So here's a closet. Enjoy it.
Okay, did he spot you? Did you attack him from the front or the back?
The front, I think.
Okay.
Does that minus points?
Yeah.
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 You
knew these things.
Yeah, you don't get the never spotted 20,000 point block if someone sees you while you're about to murder them. Or
I like how much we've improved.
That. You could have been the court jester.
Yeah. No, 20,000 points would have put me over you.
But not really, because you'll see.
I'd like to point out is I love how much like we've gone from just like not talking about score and mechanics and like the actual like nuts and bolts of the game to now how we're like pros on like, ooh, not going to get that 20,000 point bonus. That just shows me like how much you learn playing this game.
Very
and here's another
people.
Thing I just learned is it says like if you walk by a camera, it's like, oh, you've been caught on camera. I was like, oh, okay. I don't know what that does. I mean, and then so you guys mentioned it last podcast that you have to delete the footage.
Yeah. So if you're caught by a camera, you need to make sure you destroy the footage.
I mean, I'm walking around with a barcode on my head. Like, I thought people would know by now that who I am.
Right.
Anyways, so I became a bandage boy. And I went up to, like, the doctor's office, and then the doctor took the bandages off, and he's like, oh, my God, you look so much like Helmut Kruger. And he starts crying because he did such a great job.
It's like, it's almost as if you didn't have surgery.
Yeah, exactly. And so he starts crying, and I'm like, all right, I mean, if you're going to turn your back to me, and there's a closet right beside you.
There is.
I'm going to put you in the closet. And so I did. I got the doctor's uniform. It's kind of hard to get out because everyone knows all the doctors. And then I got out, and then I found my base.
Oh, boy.
Yes. The Base Theory by Kevin Rayburn. Find a base.
Kevin Raybase. Go on.
Yes.
Put so all of your costumes there.
All the way downstairs, there was like this laundry room.
Yeah.
And there was only two people who go in it. And there was a chest there. And as you know from chess math, it can hold two people. So I put them both in the chest. And I had three uniforms there, and that was my home base. and then it kind of led to nowhere. I didn't know what to do with the doctor's uniform. So I just started going around because it opened more doors. And then I found this kind of yoga instructor guy talking to like his parents about how he's doing out in the hospital. I found a closet, put him in it, and tried to shut down the yoga studio.
Okay.
And so I went through a couple different uniforms till I found out how to get into the back entrance of the yoga studio, got into the back entrance, started just cranked up the heat in the sauna, in the steam room, or if those are the same
things. I think you turned the heat off. Yeah, because they're hot springs.
Okay, so in the sauna, I turn the heat up.
Okay.
In the hot springs, I must have turned the heat down. I use a wrench.
Right.
And everyone just left. And then the lawyer girl...
Yuki Yamazaki.
Yuki Yamazaki was like, oh, perfect. I'll just go out and
enjoy some yoga.
Enjoy some yoga. So I found a yoga instructor.
With her smokes?
With her smokes?
Yeah. Did you get her cigarettes?
No.
Okay. Sorry. Keep going.
All right. So I dressed up as a yoga instructor. And then we went out. And this is hilarious.
Tell us how hilarious.
We start doing yoga. And we get into, like, I don't know, warrior pose. Is that right?
Yeah,
and then we step forward on, like, our front foot. And we get into tree pose. And she's, like, sitting there right off the cliff, like, near a cliff. And I just push her off. Like, she's sitting. I don't know if you guys know what tree pose is. You're standing on one foot. Your other foot is, like, at your knee. And you're just kind of, like, on your hips, or you're, like, you're lifting your hands up. And you're just in prime position to just get shoved off a cliff. And that's exactly what I did.
Now, you have to engage. You have to press a button to start doing that yoga stuff, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll put a pin in that for later.
Okay. Okay. All right. And then they're like, oh, it was an accident. We don't blame anyone for accidents. So continue as you were. And I'm like, okay, well, now I have to go murder the next guy.
Eric Soders.
Eric Soders. We hear his name all throughout the game, and now we get to see him. He's on the table, the surgery table.
So why did you decide to go after Yuki before you went after Soders?
So the reason why I went after Yuki is because she was just roaming around the common parts of the hospital, and Soders was just in one spot, and it was guarded by, like, all the doctors. And mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I mean, Yuki just walked by me, so why not just get Yuki?
Okay. It was convenience.
It was convenience, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely convenience. I was like, this is probably the easier target. And I think the intel to, like, get her alone with yoga came up first. So gotcha. I was like, well, yeah, I want to murder this person first, so I'll take this intel.
Gotcha.
So I start roaming around the hospital looking for ways to get into the surgery place. And I already had the doctor's uniform, but there's always people who knew who you were.
They can look through it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was just walking around and I found this, like, back entrance. And I'm like, okay, like, this is pretty cool. I'm out, like, in the cold, just roaming around.
Just chilling.
Yeah. And I get up to this door and, like, the helicopter pilot is there. And I'm like, oh, what's up, helicopter pilot? And I just put him in a closet. And his security guard,
You want to put the helicopter pilot in the closet?
Well, like, because he was just different looking. To be honest, I was like,
so people who are different looking, you're just going to knock out and put in a closet?
Let's not put words in my mouth.
I just asked you.
We kind of just heard that.
Okay.
Those words came out of your mouth.
Those are, okay, let's not imply anything.
He's
here.
Being discriminatory against helicopter pilots now. Jeez. Okay.
Well, I mean, I had a collection of costumes.
Right.
And the helicopter pilot, I was like, got to catch them all.
Pokemon.
Yeah. Let's get the helicopter pilot. And there was a security guard there, too. And I was like, well, there's another spot available in this closet. So I put him in the closet, too.
In the ray base.
And
come
then
to my ray base.
While all this was happening, intel showed up. They're like, you need to get the helicopter pilot. And I'm like, well, I already done that.
But what does you need to do with that? What does he do?
So you become the helicopter pilot. You go up to where he was standing. The doctor who's operating on Eric Soders is like, man, I really need those meds to keep my hands still, which is kind of weird because you're a doctor. You should have the meds to keep your hands still.
Or, you know, your hands might want to shake if you're a surgeon. You know
what I mean? Like,
I think Kev's saying if you're a surgeon, you have the power to prescribe and you'll just prescribe it to John Doe and it'll actually be you.
Yeah. Oh, and you wouldn't.
Whoa.
Yeah. You wouldn't.
Sorry,
have to.
I don't sit here thinking about ways to get around prescription laws, but, you know.
Yeah. No. Well, I thought about the same thing, but obviously he can't prescribe it because then there'll be a trace that he has bad hands and he loses his career. So
that's
he has
point,
to get
though.
It from the black market so no one knows about his condition so we can still pay those bills. That's gotta my justification. It makes sense.
All right. But how does this helicopter pilot just know where to get everything?
Oh, so if you listen to some of the other people that are around the employees' quarters, they're talking about the helicopter pilot who's there, who's at other places with them, and how he's still dealing.
I just happened to run upon him. So I go up to where the helicopter pilot was standing. The doctor comes out. He's like, I need it, man. And then I'm like, okay, come to my stash. I go to
Wait. Sorry to interrupt, but did you not love the dialogue of the surgeon?
I don't remember it.
Oh, he was like, oh, you know, I took a helicopter pilot's license once, but then I felt like I was destined for greater things in this world.
Yeah. I remember that on the way down.
He backhand insults everyone along the way. It's fantastic.
I don't know any of this because I didn't talk to the doctor at all.
Yeah, so the doctor comes into the place where you murdered the guard. Well, not murdered. Might have murdered. You know what? I'm thinking.
Was that your murder, Kev?
So, like, when there's two targets around and you might see, like, someone coming up or whatever, and you really want to hide them, I just start jamming buttons. And I think I accidentally
Kev, no chill? Is that what it is?
Yeah, because I just don't like to, like, save, like, and then reload all the because I've done
high
it so
situations.
In Colorado, I had to do like one part like 8 times, and then I got into like a standoff, and it was just like it was not fun to just keep doing that. So I'm like, let's just get it right the first time. So I might have pressed the X button one too many times and snapped someone's neck.
Okay, that accounts for one of 2 kills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I might have done it more than once. And so.
So now you have the doctor's uniform.
Yeah, now I have the doctor's uniform. I just, because the closet is full, I just leave him there, like naked. Yep. I was like, peace out. And you can't go back to where the helicopter pilot was because all the security guards around the helicopter know the surgeon. So you have to find back entrances. But you're the main surgeon. You have access to like everything.
It is the best outfit. You can go anywhere with this outfit.
Yeah. More or less, but like there's some people will still identify you when you had that surgeon's outfit I found. So there's just some people, but you're right, you're able to access every door. I noticed nothing was red walled, I believe.
Yep. There was nothing that I found. I think the only exception being Yuki's place, and I'm not 100% sure of that, but there was almost no room that I found that I could not enter. Because it makes sense. He is the chief surgeon, the head guy at this place. Of course he has access to everything. Mm-hmm. And yes, there's some people who are going to know what he actually looks like and be able to see through your disguise. But, I mean, like, that is the Helmut Kruger costume of this level. It is the best.
So you got the surgeon's uniform.
Yes.
What do you do now?
So there are, again, only a few people who can see you. The main security and the other main doctors who are operating on Eric Soders. So you kind of play this like a timing game where the main security guy goes further than where you are and you cut behind him and he comes back looking for you and then doesn't find you. And you finally get into the main surgery area. And you try to go into one door, one doctor sees you, and then everyone starts shooting at you. And you try to go into another one. One doctor sees you, they start. I didn't know which door to go. There was only 3 doors. I went through all of them. I got caught. So then in the middle room, there's like an operating like interface where you can press buttons and move like the robot arms to operate on Eric Soders.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of walked in there and I'm like, there's 4 dots. Let's just walk through them. And I just walked through them.
You walked through the people that knew who you were.
Yeah, they were all facing the other way.
Oh,
I just walked through
them. Lucky guy.
Got to the next door. There was 1 dot in that room. And he was at the far end. And the little console was like right to the right. So I go up to the console. And it's like, all right, press this button. And the arm comes up. I pressed it. Press this button. The arm goes over. And press it. And then it's like, press this one. And you'll inject them. And then you just press it. And it just slams right through him. It was
pretty
graphic. Like, it's this giant needle just right into his heart. And it just pulls out, and it's like, that was an accident. I wonder who did that. And then, like, everyone looks at the console, and, like, you just have to, like, kind of duck around the corner. and then just go through those four dots again and then just book it to get another uniform. As soon as you get another uniform, it's like, all right, you got to get out of here. And so I try going to the helicopter and people know who I am there. And so I like go all the way back to my home base.
The laundry room.
Yeah. And I'm flipping through all my costumes and there's like this mechanics garage there. And every time I put on a different costume, someone knows I'm there. Like someone.
So you're compromised.
No. They don't know I'm there. Someone knows.
See through your costume.
There's a dot there. So then I say, Who needs a costume? Who needs a costume? I am completely naked.
No, well, you have underwear on.
Underwear. Sorry.
What? Wait,
you can do that?
You can do that?
I don't know how I did it. I just did it.
Kev hacking the game here.
Yeah, because I thought it was hilarious because I just walked right out into the, like it was a blizzard outside and I'm just in my underwear, got on a snowmobile and took off into the sunset.
Nice.
Well done.
Thank you.
Chased Yuki Yamazaki's body down the mountain.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Fantastic, Kev.
There was one part where, sorry, I just remembered this, that mechanics garage, and sorry for taking so much time here, but the mechanics garage, so the other kill I had was in my home base, and I was afraid more people were going to be there, because every time I showed up, there was one person there. So I accidentally killed this guy, and I was like, where do I hide him? And I realized out through the mechanics garage, and into the hallway, there was a closet.
Right in the wall.
And so I dragged him through the mechanics garage. And no one, like, there's two people there just working. And I felt like they were like Stan Lee, like, putting books on the shelf. And, like, just action was going behind them. You know that scene? Yep. I forget what movie it's in. And I was just, put him in the closet. And sorry, that was just a side note. I just remembered that from the mechanics garage.
I also had quite a few moments where I was dragging people across the map to put them in a bunker or in a closet.
Nobody's found. Very important.
Nobody's found. Jacob, the court jester of this week.
Jacob McCourt Jester.
McCourt Jester. Oh, I don't know if you know what you just opened up.
Anyway, so I begin as Agent 47.
Uh-huh.
Wait. In your robe.
Okay, in the robe. Okay.
In the robe. And what I notice is there's a room next door to yours. So my first instinct is like, I'm going to crawl along the railing and like go into this next room because maybe there's a friendly person that I can meet and take his things.
Good idea.
So go next door, look through the stuff. There's nothing there, right? So I quickly found a doctor's uniform.
Wait, where?
How?
You can call people into the room, can you not?
Can you?
What?
How?
I thought you could call people in.
I'm sorry, not, did you not play sure this? How did you do this?
I'm not sure about this. I just know I got a doctor's uniform.
Okay.
Did I hack it? No.
No?
Go ahead, Mo.
I'm not... Okay, the first time I played this mission, I feel like I was roaming around in different rooms, but it might have been in like the actual staff like changing rooms where I might have found a doctor's uniform just kind of lying around, or it might have been another person's room. So there might be some truth to that. It might be not. Can't tell. But continue. You have a doctor's uniform.
I have a doctor's uniform, so I just went to explore. So I went and explored the sushi restaurant. I went and I explored the upstairs where there are a bunch of hospital rooms. There's there's like a crow's nest where you get to see where Kevin, you were explaining, you get to see the surgery. So I kind of scoped that out. And then I just couldn't figure out a way to get to Soder's well. So from there, I took my doctor's uniform and I went all the way down to the basement. And within the basement, there's a laundry facility, but the one thing you didn't mention is in addition to that, there's a morgue. And then attached to the morgue is the place where they store Soder's heart.
Yeah, buddy.
What? Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, so...
So there's a dead motorcyclist on the table.
There's a dead motorcyclist on the table.
What?
And there are two scientists. And in the room guarding Eric Soder's heart are two guards. And then beyond that, there's like a furnace room. And there's, I believe, the laundry room. So in each room, there's about two people. So like, imagine there's half a dozen to eight people in the basement. Mo, you wanted to say something?
I feel like me, you, and Mike might have done the same thing just because of the unified. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Buddy.
Continue.
I didn't even know that part of the map existed.
Oh, boy.
Just
boy,
wait.
You're gonna miss this one. So I systematically decided that I was going to eliminate everyone from this floor so I could just... so I can have my way
this
with...
This is so Jacob. This is like, I don't want to have to like tiptoe around these guys. So let me just drag each one into a corner, knock them out, and not have to worry about them.
That's exactly what I did. So I think I started...
If no one's awake on this floor, no one can find me.
I have whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. So I went in the laundry room first and took those people out. And then from there, I went into the furnace room and took people out there. The problem was, I thought that the furnace was just like a big chest where I could just put where I could just put people into.
Jake was just knocking people out and gently putting them to naps inside a big incinerator.
Guess what? It was more than just an incinerator. It was on.
Oh.
So that's my one non-target kill, because I just like I felt like I had to flow with it because I wasn't smart enough to be like, maybe this incinerator's on, and just like threw a body in there and just it burned to a crisp.
So that's what you can do with the incinerator. I kept looking at it like, there's a big like glass panel against here, and this thing is clearly on, and like, what would I need to do with this? Like, maybe if I need to destroy evidence, maybe it's a good place to put it.
Guess what? You can also destroy
Living bodies.
Living bodies. So I destroyed
one
person.
Help, Jacob.
I destroyed a body. And then from there, went into the morgue. And I got the motorcycles guy's uniform and put it on, and I'm like, this is stupid.
It's weird, right?
I don't know what to do with it. All I'm like, I'm in Hotline Miami. Look at me. I'm in the movie Drive. Let's go. I couldn't figure out what to do with it. So the morgue guys actually are turned away from you. So I just very quickly like threw like non-sharp objects at them.
Not screwdrivers?
Not screwdrivers. Whoa. I think I threw Dr. Pop cans at them.
Yeah, buddy.
I learned from you.
Yeah,
so I threw Dr. Pop at them because that's the best weapon in the game.
It is.
Threw Dr. Pop at both of them, kind of hid them away. And then from there, you get to go into the room where the heart is actually stored. So what I did is the room is very tight, right? And there's
and are the guards still there?
Okay. The guards are still in it. So you have to do this really quickly with like impeccable timing. So again, I think I had one non-sharp object, like a blunt object. Is that what they call that? Blunt? Yeah.
Non-lethal.
I had one non-lethal one. So I threw the non-lethal to a guy across the room, and there's a guy sitting in a chair, and I just, like, did the punch, like, knockout to
him. Gotcha.
So everyone on the whole basement floor is like, knocked out, mm-hmm. except for one guy who's burned to a crisp.
He was so close, Mo. He was so close.
I did this so well.
No, you were so close. To
no, you didn't.
And then from there, it's very easy to take out Soders, because you don't uh-huh. actually take him out. You take out his heart. So I took out
and
his heart.
So what happens when you take out his heart?
Mo, you want to say something?
I'm surprised you don't remember it.
Mo, don't spoil it. I got to go through my playthrough and then your.
All right,
playthrough.
You can do it, but Mike, this is all. I'll let you do this one.
Yeah. No.
Wait.
So what happens when you take out his heart?
Do you just like stab it a couple times?
Poke even
some
better.
Holes in it.
Oh, you just straight up grab it out of the machine and throw it in the garbage can, and the garbage can flips, and there's like blood splatter everywhere on the wall. It's amazing.
Yeah, and your agent, your friend, she just comes on and she says,
"And Michael missed one key thing.
No,
not only do you open up the thing and grab the heart, but you crush it in your hands and then you throw it into the garbage can because it splatters on the garbage can and everywhere. It's like the most ruthless. Like I just got this guy, and all you hear is, well, then AG-47, he'll definitely not be able to get another heart so quick, and then that's it."
And it's like, oh, this really sends a message to anyone not to cross our path.
Yes.
It's like, that's true. Like, not only was that a murder, but it was like, it's we want you to know that we murdered this guy.
Mm-hmm. So the kill was that he's not going to be able to get his heart in time.
Yeah, so he needs a new
heart.
And
they won't follow the blood splatter into the garbage.
I mean, they can, but you've crushed the heart.
Who crushed it in your hand? Okay.
Yeah.
It was a ghost.
Okay. I thought you were just going to try to kill him from the inside and, like, destroy the heart. But like microscopically.
Right. I hear you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now that you've killed Soders, how do you take out Yuki Yamazaki?
So I followed a very similar path to Kevin, where I got the yogi's uniform, because the yogi is a guy who's like holding his back because he's gotten injured from the yoga. So the whole time I'm just like, why is this yogi like clutching his back just like all around the spa? So I finally figured out, okay, you get the opportunity to like do some yoga with Yuki.
Yoga with Yuki.
And so like you go around the spa and he's walking around. You have to find a place where you can just silently take him out. So took him out You have to get a wrench, like you said, to be able to adjust the temperature to get the yoga studio kind of, or get that area kind of emptied. And once you find the uniform, you can go up to Yuki, who's got two like really burly security guards around her.
Yeah.
And most of the game actually like sits in like an inner court in the actual facility. And in that inner court, like, she's got a lot of security depending on what costume you have that will, like, spot you out. So if you're wearing a security guard's uniform, guess what? You ain't getting in there. So, like, as the yogi approach her, she comes and follows you. And the one place where we differ, Mr. Rayburn, is how I decided to do my yoga kill. Because there's a time where she, before you engage in the yoga, where she's just, like, she's actually just, like, stretching, I think. And I just didn't engage with yoga. I just, like, choked her out and then just, like, took her body and put it off the cliff. So I didn't – I guess I didn't get that – I don't know if I got that opportunity.
It's an opportunity that you didn't complete.
I didn't complete it per se because I just decided to take the easy way out and just murder her and, you know, snap her neck and throw her off the cliff. Instead of engaging in tree pose to –
warrior,
pose.
It's warrior to tree.
Warrior to tree.
Tree to foot in the back.
To mountain pose as she rides the mountain down. And then I just took the snowmobile exit, which is like a very convenient just pop out, go. I think you have to go just like up a small set of stairs and then just take the snowmobile ramp. Very easy.
Right. So did you went from the yoga cliff down the pathway to the right.
Yep.
That seems like a very natural... way to end that mission.
I don't see
spot.
Any other way. Like, you couldn't, like, that was the simplest way to get out. If you've done the yoga
kind
of opportunity.
Exactly.
Which I feel like a lot of us did.
I mean, I did not. I spent some time getting the yogi's outfit. In a similar to Kevin fashion, I wanted to make sure I got a full lay of the land to see which costume, which outfit for my Ken doll would be the most optimal.
Which turns out I didn't get a full lay of the land because I have no clue where the furnace is.
Trust me, you don't want to know.
Okay.
Jacob can show you.
You go first.
No.
So my playthrough, I think, was very similar to both of yours in that, which would explain our similarities in score. It started out with laying like a serial killer, staring up at the ceiling. And you're wearing a kimono, and I get up and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go check outside, see what this beautiful vista and landscape is. And I'm immediately prompted to vault the balcony that I'm on. I'm like, what the heck? And I'm like, there's no way there's like ground beneath me or something I can jump onto. And when I vault, I realize I can hang. And I'm like, okay, they would not give me this opportunity to hang if it did not make sense to go somewhere. And I look around and I see there's a room next door, similar to Jacob. And I decided to, you know, hobble on over, and you find some cigarettes that were smuggled in, and you find a bust of a head that is, let me tell you, quite good to be thrown at people.
Yes.
Yes. And
this is the Texan's room.
Yes.
Right?
I think his name's Amos.
Yes.
And he's a hilarious character walking around in a blue kimono. And so, you know, I was tired of waiting around for him to come through. And I also thought, what if I take his kimono? Like, is he actually going to be able to get me somewhere that Mr. VIP CEO mogul of some company is not going to be able to go?
Mr. Tobias.
That's it.
Tobias Reaper.
Reaper.
The Reaper. T-Reaper.
T-Reaper, yeah. And so I end up walking around and I immediately bump into Yuki Yamazaki. And so, you know, your handler gives you the debrief. And then I'm given an opportunity to discover of this guy who's got bandaged up faces, just like both of, you know, yours. And so I follow him into the bathroom and he gets upset with me and I cannot find, and I save scum this like maybe a dozen times. I could not find a moment where he was alone or where I could lead him to be somewhere by himself before he ends up being called by the AI to go meet with the handler. And I tried sneaking past them. None of that worked. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to have someone that sees me knock him out. And it turns out I was able to lure him away. But because he was so upset that I looked just like him, he would not turn his back to me. So I did Mo's favorite method of giving him the 1-2 punch right in the face. That's exactly it. And put on his clothes, go past all the security, talk to the doctor, have him cry, choke him out. But this is one thing that you didn't mention that I think is very important to note here. you're in a corner office, and to one side is a room full of security agents who are training.
Who are doing push-ups.
Who are doing push-ups.
Seeing who can do the most amount of push-ups. Yeah.
And the other side are all of these doctors that are doing research. And the thing that is the most difficult about this is that while there is a closet that you can stuff this doctor's body, there are windows, and all the doors are made of glass. So if you don't time this perfectly, of choking him out and very quickly stuffing him into the closet, you definitely get spotted and you get hunted. And I had to save Scum that a bajillion times until I found the right timing. And then, you know, then I was dressed like a doctor and I could move around. And so I now I've got something. I can move around. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try and screw with the life support systems to take out Eric Soders. Because my logic was this. Eric Soders is the big bad. He is covered with the most security. Yuki is just there to make sure Soders is all right. She's just backup. She's just support. So the real target here is Soders. And if I can take out Soders, the most difficult, then I'll definitely be able to take out Yuki. Because typically, Soders is going to be in the highest security area. Mm-hmm. So I'll get the costume that has the most security clearance.
Gosh, you're really living that Agent 47 lifestyle, you know, eh?
I'm thinking it through. And so I'm like, okay, I got to go after Soders. And I'm wearing his doctor's outfit. And I imagine the doctors have a lot of security clearance here. So I end up going to the observation bay where all the surgery is happening. And I'm like, oh my God. If you go right outside this door, there's a defibrillator control panel that you can... You can automatically kill him with the defibrillator. And so that's what it is. I was like, let's use the auto defibrillator on him without anyone noticing that I'm here. And wouldn't you know that if you do that, all of the other life support systems come and kick him up back to life. And I realized there are three or four different backup systems that you have to eliminate before you can take him up. Like, this is quite extreme. This is quite intensive.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I need to find a better way. So I start walking around and I make my way outside, walking fast, paced as fast, and I'm homebound. And I see the helicopter. I see a helicopter and opportunity arises. And they say, okay, look, this helicopter pilot, he's a drug dealer. And the head surgeon needs his fix. So get the helicopter uniforms pilot, just like you guys did. And so this is one of the continual issues that I had throughout the game or throughout this level, which I think made it very difficult, which was he walks down into that one room where the one guard is sleeping on a chair, and there's other people that are walking up and down that path. And so you only have room to store two bodies in that closet there, but there are more than two people you really need to take out if you want to feel safe. Mo, do you have something to add there?
Yeah, because I kind of, you know, I'll cover it in my playthrough, but I see what you're getting at, and I found a solution.
Okay. And so, you know, I think you could probably take out the three people that are there and leave them inside that room and hope that no one comes around and goes in. But my solution was, I'm not leaving that up to chance. I'm not leaving a naked body just laying on the floor here. It's not happening. So
I did that.
And so what I ended up doing was I continued following the path down after I had knocked out all three. And I realized there's one guard guarding this entryway just up the stairs. And then on the inside of the door, there's a closet that stores two bodies. So I knock him out. I put him in the closet and I go back and I drag this body through the cold winter of Hokkaido.
Oh my God.
This guy is knocked out. I'm dragging him by his foot up these stairs, hitting his head off of every stair on the way up. Bring him to a closet and jam him in. And that was my solution to having more bodies than space permitted.
Hitman math.
Now, if you leave him outside long enough, does he die from frostbite and you get like a non-target kill?
I hope not. I don't think that's what it is, but that would be the next level. Mm-hmm. That would be next
Maybe
level.
Maybe in Hitman 2 in the professional mode, they'll take that into account, because in this game's professional mode, they add layers of, like, if you murder someone, their clothes are no longer usable. So like maybe in Hitman 2's professional mode, they'll do that.
If you get like blood on them.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
So after I tuck this guy into that closet, I realize, oh, there's a door here and it leads to the morgue. I'm like, I'm still in my exploratory mode. So I go into the morgue and I realize, oh, there are doctors here. There's a tight hallway. I'm not going to be able to get through until I have the right disguise. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go get the helicopter pilot's outfit. I'm going to talk to the doctor. I lure him back into the space. I take his outfit. I'm like, fantastic. Now I've got security and clearance to pretty much everywhere. And I go back to the morgue, and lo and behold, these morgue doctors can see through your disguise. So I was like, this is not what I was expecting. So I sneak past them. I go through the whole back and forth. One of the things that I had done in my playthrough was I was able to find the crowbar. And how I dispatched of the guy asleep in the chair in that one room was I picked up the crowbar, I turned, and I chucked it at his head. And that's the way that you can take care of this guy without actually having to murder him and snap his neck.
Which guy is this? Where's the security guard?
This security guard is asleep in the room where the pills are located.
Okay.
So there's a crowbar in there. And so now that you have the crowbar, you can open up all these locked boxes that are hanging on the wall. And what's in these locked boxes? A wrench. So fantastic. I've got a wrench. I go into the morgue. And this is where things differ between Jacob and I. Whereas Jacob decided to just take everyone out so he could walk freely.
Yeah.
And then 1-2 punch the two guards.
Yeah.
I walked behind the heart and found a valve that you can crank the wrench and turn up the temperature in the room and make it uncomfortable for the guards so they have to leave. You were so close, Jacob.
Handcrafted.
You were
my
so
friend.
Close, Jacob. Yeah. Like when Mo was shaking his head, I was like, Mo, I know where you're going. Just let him. Just let him go.
Yeah,
Squirrely Man go.
Yeah, because you had such a high score, Jacob. I'm like, oh my god, did he actually like beat the game the way it was supposed to be beaten?
No.
Because you were maybe like, if this was real world, you're maybe like a meter away from being in position to see this interaction. Because you just have to go behind the heart, and you crank that wrench, and it gets way too cold for them, and they all conveniently just walk away.
No,
and you're
that's
by
two
yourself.
Steps, that's two steps too many for my bird brain.
Yeah.
And so I take care of Eric Soda's heart, and I'm like, that is the most satisfying way to kill a person without ever actually having to see him. And I'm like, okay, Yuki Yamazaki is the next thing. It's easy. I know by walking through the area with all the staff that they're talking about how fugu fish is no longer allowed to be served because, well, some young enterprising chef thought that they had the ability to go and serve this very hard to serve dish. And ended up hurting someone.
Now, you mean fugu like blowfish, right?
Like blowfish.
Puffer fish.
Exactly.
Okay,
like puffer fish.
Like from The Simpsons.
Like from The Simpsons. And real life.
Yeah. But
you know, primarily The Simpsons, but also real life. The
second one is real life.
Secondary reference of real life. And so I realize, okay, I need a chef's outfit. And I don't know about you guys, because I feel like Mo nodding his head here also went down this path. But the chef's outfit was tough to get because these chefs are standing next to each other almost this whole time and they don't really turn their back. And if you go and find a chef upstairs, they are also in pairs and they're in front of a lot of people. So I had to orchestrate a lot of throwing stuff in a corner to get people looking away. And I had to position myself around poles to choke out one of the chefs. Take his outfit, put him in a cooler, wait until the other chef had his back turned, choke him out just for good measure. You didn't want to know where he was going to end up.
Because chefs go into coolers.
Exactly. That's their home and native land.
No pun intended, also into coolers when they're knocked out.
Chill with the hitman math, my friend.
Exactly.
Chill.
Exactly. And so I very simply prepared some fugu for Yuki Yamazaki, served it to her, and then walked off. And this is where I ended up losing points, body found, because she dies in public. And then I don't believe I was able to destroy my recordings because I was like, well, the cinematic way to get out of here is to take the helicopter. So I went from the sushi place to the helicopter and got out. And so that's what happened the first time.
So no matter what you do when you take that intel for the puffer fish there, you're going to have a body found.
Well, Mo apparently didn't get it that way, but I know that I didn't leave any bodies laying in the open, and I got a body found non-notice kill, but body found immediately after Yuki Yamazaki fell to the ground. So, Mo, you tell us. It sounded like you did it very similarly, but had a better outcome.
Yeah, so I pretty much did like all of your methods combined together, but just precisely and without taking down as many people.
Because so I did it better. Go on.
Yes, exactly. But no, like, to be honest, so more or less. So I wrote down some notes because it was like a bunch of steps that kind of all led to all of your results, I guess. Okay, so let me pop this open real quick. So essentially, start out the same way you guys did, on that bed, jumping up, and I find the Victor Krueger lookalike guy, chase him down.
Helmut Krueger.
Victor Krueger. Have you played this game, Mo? Are you sure you got a silent assassin?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, so I find the Helmut Krueger lookalike, take his uniform, and I make it all the way upstairs to the doctor who's going to be unbandaging me. With the unbandaging, I tried it twice. I tried not getting into that interaction, because once the doctor takes you upstairs, she's like, hey, the surgeon will unbandage you in this room over here. I'm like, maybe I don't want to follow this path. Maybe I want to kind of use this uniform, because no one really cares about you when you're dressed as the Helmut Krueger patient. It's almost like it's a better super user, because you can walk around throughout that entire facility and you're a patient who's supposed to be in that grounds anyway. So it was probably the best uniform to have.
I mean, you can't get into everywhere, right?
Right.
Yes, that's the only thing.
There were so many. You're talking about the patient's outfit?
Yeah, what's his name? I wrote his name down.
The bandage patient.
Yeah, Jordan Page or whatever, the guy that you're actually... Yeah, so he's able to not get like bothered by other NPCs, but he doesn't have access to every room like the surgeon. So that's what I'm kind of saying. He's one of the better ones to explore, at least.
The trade-off is worth it.
Yes, exactly. So I did that, did the other way, and I immediately tried to figure out how I was supposed to take down the guy who's getting the surgery taken on him. So eventually I realized, you know what, let me get a doctor's outfit. So I did get unbandaged. I did the exact same thing. I knocked the doctor out, put him into that closet really quietly, made sure no one could see me through the windows and the doors. And then I just started exploring. First thing I tried to do was try to shut off all that equipment that Mike was talking about, where like you're able to switch off his heart, you can switch off like the blood monitoring thing, and each time it switches off, you have like a couple seconds and it's like, oh, he's dying, and you're like, oh, I finished this, but the emergency system would kick on and the guy would be safe. So what I thought it was like a time based puzzle, just like how like it was in The Witness, where you switch one off and you have to run all the way around the facility, switch the other one off, and you'd have enough time to switch the third one off so there's no emergency fail safe, all systems would be down. Tried that, wasted like 20 minutes because no, that doesn't work. There's it switches on way too automatically. So what I eventually discovered was that pilot. How I discovered it, though, is when you're upstairs in the doctor's office, when they're like, hey, you can step into this office to get your unbandaged stuff, there's a window that's opened, and through that window is where the pilot kind of walked past, and I heard the notification saying, hey, you should dress as this pilot, blah, blah, blah. So I jumped out of the window, and because I was dressed as the doctor, no one was really batting that much of an eye at me. The pilot didn't really care, and the other like patrolling regular person was also didn't care around the staircase. So I walked down to see where the pilot was going to be walking to, the actual like room/office, and I saw that guard situation where now you have two like people in that room that you have to take out, and you're gonna have the third, which is going to be the actual surgeon that you need to stuff. So I restarted it, and what I eventually did was, if you're walking down into that little closet area, if you bump into the security guard, the pilot notices you and says, hey, what are you doing here? Get out of here. But it's not like a suspicious thing or anything. It's just him talking dialogue because you're a doctor. You're supposed to be on the facility. It's more or less like, get out of this room. You shouldn't be in this room. The guard actually gets up and he's like, yeah, get out of this room. So I step out of the room. Everything is all settled. There's no like suspicion, nothing like that. But because the security guard is awake, he just walks out and just leaves. And he's completely taken care of. Doesn't need to be even knocked out, stored, or anything. He just walks off and continues on a regular path. Who knows where? So as soon as the pilot's going to switch out the medicine, I knock him out, take his uniform. You guys know the situation. I go talk to the surgeon. Surgeon comes downstairs. I take his uniform. Then I have both the surgeon and the pilot stuffed in the locker. And I start exploring to figure out, hey, how am I going to take down this patient that's laying on this bed? And I couldn't figure it out. Kevin, I think, figured it out. You had to just walk in there and just stab him with that arm or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I couldn't get it. I didn't know where I was going to go. There was no lead or anything like that. Or maybe there was instructions and I just like clicked away from it or like accepted a new lead or something like that. But I couldn't figure it out. And eventually started patrolling. And I got downstairs to like the mechanic shop / where the snowmobiles are. I saw there was like a wrench and a screwdriver. I was like, maybe I should do the Jacob method and just finish this level. Now, this is where you guys could have got some good points. in that morgue is where they have the security footage too. And it's unguarded. It's just an open room. It's just an open room right next to the two surgeons next to the bike guy.
I could have beaten you, Michael.
But he Maybe. Also could have found the footage and deleted it too.
Yeah, you could have done that. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't like in the last mission in Colorado where there was like an actual guy that was standing there and you couldn't get him away. It was this one just wide open. So I just went up there, destroyed it, and I was like, okay, easy points. And I just started walking around thinking like, okay, what am I going to do? So I walked into that room where the heart was and I saw the two guards there. I'm like, okay, well, this is going to be tricky. Like, they will not leave this area. So eventually I said, you know what? Let me just keep patrolling. And I stumbled across the Fugu fish, puffer fish objective. And exactly how Mike did it is similar to what I did, except I didn't need to take down, like, both the chef's people. I was pretty confident in my ability to, like, I would allow myself to get kind of spotted, like, with the notification, but I would make sure I'm moving to a position where they won't be able to, like, activate the full, like, hey, who are you? Why are you there?
Right, so because there's, like, a five-second window where you can, like, be suspicious but not get caught.
Right.
So if you can get in and get out within 5 seconds, you're okay.
Yeah, it's also dependent on if they're directly looking at you or if you're, like, in their peripherals, it'll be slower for them to detect you. Because if they're looking straight at you and you walk right up to them, you're detected, obviously. But if you're kind of halfway in their vision, you can kind of run past them. So I ran directly into the kitchen between the two guys and I just watched their behavior, and as soon as both of them were facing opposite direction, I just walked up to the sous chef, the assistant chef, choked him out, dragged him into that cooler right in that room, and grabbed his uniform, left the surgeon uniform actually in that kitchen, which I was kind of nervous about because I didn't know how I was going to get back in there. Did the puffer fish, chopped it up, served it to Yuki Yuki Sakai. Yeah, so I serve it to her, and I walk away knowing, bam, mission accomplished, she's going to die. I also got the unnoticed kill, body found, but mine also said, I think, accidental kill. So I don't know if body found actually drops your score or anything. If it did, mine dropped as well, because I definitely remember body found, but I think it was accident killed.
Well, looking at your score, you got 20,000 points for all of the sub-challenges, right?
Yeah.
So you definitely didn't get the body found. So maybe they found one of my other bodies in a closet tucked away somewhere.
Sloppy.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, because I know for sure also when I replayed Colorado to get my 5 stars for that one, when you get the accident kill on when I got the accident kill on the two targets, the CEO executive and the lady missing the arm.
Let me just make it clear. Sean Price or Power or whatever his name is.
Yeah, okay. Sean Rose.
Sean Rose.
Sean
sure.
Rose, you mean Silicon Valley
extraordinaire.
Extraordinaire khaki
look,
boy.
I know you guys don't read in these games, but I read all of the profiles on them. He grew up in a Marxist camp in New Zealand, mm-hmm. and then he followed a girl, Canadian girl, to Canada. And then he
was a CEO.
He was never a CEO of anything.
He was radicalized.
Let me be clear. He was never, ever a CEO. He didn't wear khakis and a polo. I don't know where you guys are coming up with this. Look, I'm triggered.
All right. Well, like,
I'm triggered.
He wasn't.
You're gaslighting me here, trying to tell me that he was a CEO of anything.
He wasn't a CEO just like you weren't a model, but you look like Helmut Kruger.
Are you trying to flatter me here?
No, not you. Agent 47.
You know what I think?
He
the thing
looks
is,
like a CEO.
I think the thing is that in all of our hearts, all of us are a Silicon Valley bomb boy CEO, just like Sean Rose. All of us a little bit in our hearts are like that, right?
I love you, Jacob.
Mike, you're just like Sean Rose.
I'm nothing like Sean Rose.
Anyways,
but you just opened up a can of worms.
That's okay. So when I killed those two targets is what I was getting at. They were both, what's it called? As soon as it like happened, it said accident kill, unnoticed kill, body found also came up when I killed both of them. So I can't remember. I don't think it matters if a body was found as long as there's like an accident attached to that event, I'm assuming.
Mo, I'm looking at your score screen that you sent to all of us to prove your superiority. And yeah. You have no bodies found, no notice kills, never spotted, no recordings. So I don't know what happened there.
Yeah. Well, anyways.
Well, Mo, you crushed it. Like Thanks. Last week, the King of Hitman Season 1.
Exactly. Yeah, so essentially, Yeah. So what I did with almost exact same method as Mike, I eventually made it downstairs. I deleted all the footage. I found the wrench in that garage mechanic area. There's one just sitting up there. So I picked that one up and I saw the event that you had to like kind of unscrew it. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I eventually just unscrewed the temperature. Both guards jumped out. I grabbed the heart, squeezed it with my fist, burst it, threw it in the garbage bin, walked out. Well done. Oh, and it was 25 minutes altogether.
Yeah, you're killing.
Your timing is down pat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just because of the saving though. I was probably playing it for like a good hour 15.
So Mo, you're the winner of Hitman Season 1, but let me tell you, I'm coming for the throne in Season 2.
Same. It's gonna be fun. If we play that one, that'll be really cool.
Kevin, I feel like you and I need to, you know, get better next season.
Yeah, we do. And you know what? I'm gonna put a personal guarantee out there. I'm going to be slightly better than you next season, as you were slightly better than me.
Ooh, shots fired, shots fired. Season.
We are fighting to become the McCourt Jester, and I'm going to lose that nickname. Gentlemen, any final thoughts about Hitman Season 1 or about Hokkaido?
Okay, so one, the cinematics are amazing. They look fantastic. The story is super cool. I know you guys made fun of me for paying attention to the story at the beginning of the game, but at the end of this game, when they're sitting down on the train and they're like, no, we've already won. This is just maintenance. I was like, that is so cool. That is amazing. I love this mission. I liked that it was harder than Colorado because there was so much glass and your movement was more restricted. And Hitman as a game, I am now a fan of the series. This was such a great experience. I understand why it was Game of the Year at so many different places. I can't wait to play Season 2.
Mo?
Yeah, it's a similar sentiment as Mike, but I played that some of the original games like Conviction and Blood Money, and I loved those. This one gave me the same satisfaction as those, but it looked way better, played way better, and it has a total package, a great strategy game with fighting, shooting, and my favorite thing, guns.
Yes, and I also love this game. Although I only played two episodes, I'm excited to play the first three, and hopefully first four, and hopefully I can top some of your leaderboard scores while I do that. It was a really fun game. I found that out of the two episodes I played, I liked Hokkaido better because it was it was a cool atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Although it was a hospital, but it was a really like chill hospital, mm-hmm. High tech. Everything was very smooth. It was very sneaky. And as people know, I like to hide in bushes in shooting games. And so
defining the bush meta.
Exactly. So I like to be sneaky and kill people in video games, that is. And so I enjoyed this game.
Great save.
Yes.
I guess I don't want to beat a dead horse here and say Hitman's a great game. I'm excited to play Hitman Season 2. The first level that they've shown is an F1 race in Monaco, which, cool. like, sign me up. Get me in that mascot costume. Let me tell you, wearing a mascot is tough. I know this from experience, but you can do it in Hitman 2. I'm just very excited to play it. And it's great. It's on Xbox Games Pass, so if you have that, like, download it today. Get in on this.
What a value.
What a value. So that's it for our Hitman series. 7 episodes done. The books are closed. But you know what book is open? The virtual book called the Left Behind Game Club Discord. Mo, tell the people where they can find that Discord.
If you guys jump on our website at leftbehindgame.club or leftbehindgameclub.com, we actually have a quick little handy link that will shoot you right to Discord, and you'll be able to jump in on our server and chat with a bunch of guys. We have some channels about some deals. We talk about games, also about some drama as to why Xbox made the Xbox One X white now. A lot of cool little discussions that always go on. We'd love to talk with you guys. We'd like to talk to everyone. So jump on there and join.
Apart from our Discord, if you like the show, just send it to a friend. We're creating this great community of people that play games long after they've been released in some cases. So play a game with us and send it to a friend, and they can join the community and play with us too.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Jacob, where can the people find you at?
Find me on the internet at Jacob McCourt on all major platforms and at jacobmccourt.com. Not McCourt Jester. Don't do that.
Uh-huh. And the Discord server. Mo, where can the people find you at?
You can find me at mmurtadi on all social media platforms or mmurtadi.com.
And the Discord server. Kev, where can the people find you at?
You can find me at A Tribe Called Kev on Xbox and a Discord server.
And you can find me at RuffaloM on those social places online or MichaelRuffalo.com. And you can find me on the Left Behind Game Club Discord server. I look forward to seeing you there. And this is one less game left behind.